All right, and welcome to another episode of Between the Bubbles. I am Brayden.
I am Darren.
And we are back in the Grape Escape recording this evening, just talking a little bit about comic books. We already recorded our review section, which you'll hear in just a moment. We reviewed 25 things this week. It was all full of really exciting stuff, and it was a lot. It was a good week.
It was a great week. There's a lot of good Adore and Explorers.
Yeah, so definitely check those out, and you'll see what you should have bought this last week, and hopefully you'll agree with us. If you don't, obviously let us know. But to start out, we wanted to start with a very special announcement. Starting next week, we are going to relaunch Between the Bubbles. Version 2.0 is what we're going to be calling it. And basically, what we're going to do is retool our podcast so that rather than large episodes once or twice a week, it's going to be smaller episodes nearly daily.
It could be 6 days a week.
It's for sure going to be 5 days a week, possibly 6 days a week, that you will have a new episode of Between the Bubbles to download and enjoy.
And
hopefully we're going to be able to compartmentalize some of the things so that there's something for everyone.
And they will be shorter.
They will be shorter, so you'll be able to listen to them on the go more. You can listen to them one at a time. And the biggest and most important thing, I think, is we will have a little something for anybody.
Yes.
So here's how it's going to break down. On Sundays, we'll have our news episodes. They'll be just short episodes talking about big comics news that week, talking about, you know, announcements of new books or multimedia stuff related to comics, comic book games or movies or TV shows, all that kind of stuff. Basically what we've been doing in the first part of our podcast, but as its own separate podcast.
Yes, and we, of course, will be giving our opinions aplenty still.
Oh, of course. I mean, you can never not editorialize. You must editorialize.
Have to.
This is subjective truth. We can talk about that some other time, though. Subjective truth is a big concept. We'll talk about another time. Mondays, we'll put out our review episodes, which will be essentially that second chunk of our current episodes, encapsulated into one lump sum, where you can hear all about what we read that last week, what we enjoyed, and our hero moment and our villain moment of the week will all be right there in our reviews episode every Monday. Every Tuesday, which you've already had a taste of, we'll have our pull list episodes. Short episodes where each of us talk about two things that we're excited about for the coming week, what's coming out that next day, what we really want to read, what maybe we're kind of apprehensive about. All that kind of stuff we'll be talking about in our pull list episodes every Tuesday to give you a little bit of direction as you head towards the store. Wednesdays will be our special days, where we'll put in episodes on various and sundry different topics. Could be interviews with people who we know. Could be Kickstarter interviews will show up there. We have a very special panel episode that we'll be debuting next week in two parts, which we'll talk about the second part in just a second. And it'll just give us an opportunity to really dig into some of these things that there isn't time in the other types of episodes to really talk about.
And really explore the other side of comic books.
Yeah. So, you know, this will be things of the things that we've already seen. You know, our Valiant short would have been one of these specials. Or last week's Watchmen short. Or this week's review of Fantastic Four. These things are going to be the sorts of things that you'll see in our special. They'll be diverse. They'll be varied. And you'll get a good flavor for what all you can get from them. Then Thursdays, we'll have our feature episode, which will basically consist of three parts, the third of which I think you guys will really be excited about. The first part is our From the Archive section, which we've gotten a lot of good feedback from, and we know a lot of people who would like to get into comics but aren't, you know, weekly warriors who go to the comic book store every Wednesday to pick up their pull
list. Just want collected editions.
Yeah, and a lot of people collect that way, even some of our panelists. That's how my wife likes to read comics. She doesn't want to buy floppies every month. She wants to get a book, sit down for a couple hours, and really enjoy it. And it'll be a good kind of comics 101 primer because it'll give you a good place to start if you want to get into a certain book or a certain character and all that kind of stuff. So we'll still be doing one of us each week. We'll pick a book from the archives that we really love. The other person will continue to pick a webcomic and talk about really important, really fun webcomics that we enjoy. And the ones that really stick out to us as worth your time and effort to read. So those will be every Thursday. And then, last but not least, on some Fridays, not every Friday, we'll release a second special episode. This might be, for example, next week when we do our big panel episode, it was so long that we decided to split into two smaller chunks, so it's a little easier to manage, and it's not, you know, it's not an hour, 40-minute file you've got to download and listen to all at once. It'll be in two smaller chunks, And it'll give us chances to do extra interviews, you know, if we've got a lot of Kickstarters we want to talk to, without making these big bloated episodes. Anyway, I'm really excited about the relaunch. I feel like I said, there will be a little something for everyone. If you're a weekly warrior, you'll want to listen to the reviews and the pull list. If you are... Oh, I forgot to tell you about the other part of the feature section. The most exciting part.
Oh, yes.
We will have a guest...
Little Matthew.
A guest presenter at the end of each of our features episodes. Our friend Matthew, who you may have heard us interview him a few weeks ago, has been reading with his dad Uncanny X-Men. And each issue, he records a small review of that issue.
It is the most adorable thing.
They're darling.
You will ever hear in your entire life.
They're darling.
Because so Magneto too, is not bad, he's kind of good.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good, yes.
He's not good, but he's pretty good. So anyway, you'll love it. He does really great work. He loves these. You can tell, even from his age of 4, he loves these characters. He loves to talk about comic books. We're really grateful for Katie and Jordan for sending us those files and letting Matthew share his views on Uncanny X-Men along with all of you. So, if you want to read along with Matthew, go pick up Uncanny X-Men. And you can read right along with him.
It is one of the most amazing recordings. I just love hearing his little voice.
Yeah. So for those of you who think kids are cute or who really like Uncanny X-Men, that'll work for you. For people who read collected editions, the archive stuff will work. For those of you who are just excited about news and especially like movie and TV show news, you'll want to hear the news sections. We really feel like it will be a drastic reimagining of what we want to share with you guys, and that you'll find a lot of worthwhile episodes to hear.
And basically natural progression of our little baby.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just kind of growing up, getting a little older, and
yeah,
good changes.
We said we wanted to give you guys something every single day, and originally that meant that we were going to write more articles, but writing articles takes a long time.
It does.
Sometimes it's easier to just sit down and chat for a while.
It really is. And so hope you enjoy it. Hope you look forward to it. We know we do.
Oh, we're very excited about the relaunch.
And definitely spread the word.
All right. And now we will have our review section. And welcome back to Between the Bubbles. Man, it's nice to finally be done with your tests, Dan.
Oh, yes. It was one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. I will say that. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And if you heard my section of the review last week, you probably got a sense of how stressed out and tired I was.
You could hear it in your voice.
Yeah, I was listening back to it, and you try and be energized and excited. And oh my, it was like I was in slow-mo. I mean, I'd hear your voice and it's your regular, energized and excited and happy, jovial voice.
Well, only so excited. You weren't here to bounce off of, so it was kind of boring.
You. But I heard, and then right when you went to mine, it's just like this huge contrast, like, oh man, I thought I faked it better than that, but ugh. That's when it hit me. It's like, wow, you are tired, Darren. So I'm done. I finished yesterday and I'm back here in my regular spot. Here with Brayden in Between the Bubbles, and I cannot tell you how happy I am. I have no idea how the test went. I don't find out for another month and a half, but really, who cares? It's done.
Yeah.
I survived.
We're glad to have you back in the Grape Escape, recording this fine, fine episode.
Glad to be back.
Anyway, we have a ton of reviews to go over today. It's an embarrassing amount of reviews, so let's just get this baby going. The first bunch are all me, because there are a bunch of dark horses I bought this week. Like, when you hear how many I review this week, you might be a little embarrassed for me.
It's 19, but you shouldn't be embarrassed.
19, maybe even 20, because I don't think I counted Mind the Gap when I originally
gave
you
really?
The title. Yeah, anyway, it's a lot of comics. So let's start with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. End of this arc, where she's been a bodyguard working for one of her former slayers. She quits that job at the end of the arc so she can go off and save the world. I mean, we want Buffy saving the world, but it was a little too altruistic for my sake. She even turned down the pay, which
really?
Was stupid.
Is that if you're typical
gonna get,
Buffy?
Well, sometimes she just does stupid altruistic things. So yes, it is typical of Buffy. But I expected her. She even jokes how she didn't know that checks could have that many zeros on them. Come on, Buff. Keep the check at least. It'll keep you in business for the next year, and then you can go fight bad guys. So Buffy acted a little stupid.
Is this her job, is to be a vampire slayer?
No, she doesn't get paid for it.
Oh,
That's the problem.
That's what she do in her normal.
She was working before she started working at this bodyguard place. She was working as a barista at a coffee place. Back in the original series, she worked at the Double Meat Palace for a while, making burgers.
Really?
Uh huh. She also was a school counselor for a while. But you know, weird things happen. Anyway, I give this arc an explore it. Ultimately, there's some interesting concepts that it's building off of. And I think that things are going to get hairy. It's been a really calmer, smaller, focused series than Season 8 was, but I think it's going to get hairy real quick. Anyway, I'm going to give it an explore it. Next up, Conan the Barbarian, written by Brian Wood.
Is it as good as last month's?
In terms of writing, it is. Brian Wood has, in the last couple of months, become consistently one of the best writers I read. I am reviewing, I think, 3, maybe 4 of his books today. And all of them are solid.
Really?
Yes. I'm giving this issue an adore it. I love these characters. I love Belit. I love Conan. And I just think that they're interesting. The art is not as good as it has been.
Becky Cloonan
is the normal artist on this book, but she had the month off. Vasilis Lolos does good work, but it's not Becky Cloonan.
Becky Cloonan, I was first introduced with the Batman issue 12, and I loved her art.
It's even better in Conan.
Oh, because when Greg Capullo is done with Batman, which I hope never happens because he and Snyder are a great combination, I really want Becky to be the regular artist. And it would be cool to have a female on the Bat team. You know what I mean?
I agree. But this is a solid second chapter in this very interesting arc. I'm giving it an adore it. Because the first issue was solid and the second issue is just as good. If you want to get into it, this last month's issue, the starting of this arc, is a perfect place to start. It's where I started. I came into this sight unseen just knowing I liked Becky Cloonan and I liked Brian Wood, and it's been worth my money.
Were you a Conan the Barbarian fan of the movies?
If by fan you mean when I want to watch a heavy metal, like, ridiculosity thing, then yes. I mean, if you want to watch a dude who's drunk punch a camel in the head so hard that it dies, then yes. I would say I am a fan, but they're horrible. They're horrible films, but they're so bad they're good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, I really like this book, and it's not anything like the movies. Conan is not this super, super muscly, like...
Meathead.
He's extremely intelligent. He looks nothing like what you'd expect him to look like, and it's just... This and the Half-Century War, that Godzilla property, have proven to me that any property can be interesting in the hands of the right writers.
So true, especially with Godzilla, because I was making fun of myself. Even when you told me how great it was, I'm like, Darren, you're buying Godzilla. Do you realize what you're actually purchasing? Yeah, it was amazing.
And you're excited for issue 2.
Oh, can't next week?
Next week is next right. Week. Anyway, so it's just proof that the right any property can be good in the hands of the right writers. And Brian Wood is a great writer. So I adore it. Next up, issue 1 of The Creep. Now, I don't know why this is issue 1 and the one that came out last month was issue 0.
Yeah,
because I'll be straight. I'll be straight. You can't really get into this without having read issue 0. If you do, you're just going to be confused. So why they did it in issue 0, I don't know. It's building off of what we saw in issue 0, but I felt like issue 0 was superior. I'm going to keep picking up at least through the end of this arc, but I'm only going to give it an explore it. It's not as compelling as that 0 issue was, but I'm interested enough in the characters that I'll stick around for the first arc.
He has acromegaly, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
I was tested on that.
Hey, there you go. And you passed.
Yeah.
You passed. All right, next up is another Brian Wood book. It's The Massive.
I've been hearing great stuff about this.
Yeah, this was the best issue so far. Because the first 3 issues I gave an explore it to on the podcast, if you'll remember, dear listeners, this is finally when I feel like I adore this. For all those people who were like, oh, Brayden had a bad week last week, I adored a lot of the stuff I read this week.
I did have a rough week last week. There was 1 or 2 adores.
2 things I adored.
A lot of ignores. Yeah. A few sporadic explores.
There's 1 thing to ignore this week, and you can't really ignore it because it's stupid Avengers vs. X-Men, and it's issue 11 of a 12-issue series. So it's not like I can actually ignore it. If you're buying it, you're going to buy it, and if you're not, don't bother. But anyway, The Massive, I adored this. I feel like the characters are finally getting a deepness that I want. Callum Israel is a fascinating main character. I really like his ethos. I really like the way that he's portrayed. And this is just slowly building to a better and better mystery. And it's just a really interesting idea of what could happen if everything goes bad at once. And I've enjoyed this book, but now I really love it. So adore it.
There you go.
All right. So next up, let's talk some DC comics.
Oh, this is where I have a ton of DC. Because
yes,
of
you do.
0 month. But
all right, let's start with Batgirl. How did you feel about Batgirl?
Batgirl, okay.
We know your feelings about Batgirl, after all.
I have a huge major crush on Batgirl, and this is why, because she could beat the crap out of me, which is cool, but she felt bad doing it, and, you know, I love Batgirl. Anyway, so I was very excited about this issue because I was hoping that it would explore Barbara Gordon going from being crippled and in a wheelchair to seeing how she overcame her disability and her fears to be now Batgirl again. Instead, what we got was a story about how she's fascinated with Batman, and it's before she even becomes Batgirl. And look, I understand they need to get the origin of her at 0 month, mm-hmm. but that was not what I was looking forward to. I'm going to even explore it. The artwork by Ed Bennis was really good. He
do you
started
like,
with,
he do you started like with, Bennis's
yeah,
work?
I do. He started
he's
with Nightwing.
He's the new writer for this book. Or not writer, he's the new reader, or right.
Artist.
I can say words. He's the new artist for this book.
Which I'm happy about.
The other guy's gone as of this issue, and he's the primary artist.
Yeah, he started out with Nightwing, and Nightwing was great when Ed Bennis was drawing, or being an artist for it. And so that's solid, because the artwork for Batgirl has been really sporadic, I felt like.
Yeah, I have too. But I feel like this art maybe matches Gale's writing style a little better.
Oh, I think so.
So I'm excited to see where it goes. Personally, I enjoyed it because I felt like it was a better origin story than what we got in Earth One, or not Earth One, Year One. I know all you Batgirl fans are going to be hating me right now, but I feel like this is a superior origin story to Batgirl Year One. Because in Batgirl Year One, for those of you who don't know, she's at a costume ball dressed as a Lady Batman and then stops some criminals, and then Batman's all like, "You shouldn't do that. This is no work for ladies." Like, I don't know if he says that.
I hope he does.
He tries to encourage her to not be a bat person. Yeah, but in this one, she's obsessed with the concept of Batman, which we come to understand why, thanks to the Batman backup, which we'll talk about in just a moment. And when he shows up, he says, "Nice work." And so how much better is that compared to, "You shouldn't be fighting criminals, young lady"?
So much cooler, too, though.
Yeah, it makes them both look so much cooler. I don't know how I feel about her pre-cripple outfit.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
It doesn't really work for me, but whatever, man. Whatever. I felt like it was solid. I'm giving it an explore it. I'm curious to see how Ed's art grows as he continues to draw her. I'm really excited to see where Gail Simone takes her during the death of the family arc. Because she's got some of the biggest gripes with the Joker.
Well, hopefully they explain kind of
I think they will.
Repercussions of it and how she overcame it.
I think that they will. I think they have to.
They have to, because all they say is, "Oh, she has surgery and her strength and will."
And I think that's why she chose not to, that Gail Simone chose not to put it in the Zero issue, because I think we'll see it developed over the following weeks.
I really hope so. Because I was a little disappointed. I'm going to explore, but I was a little disappointed.
Yeah. Understandably.
So
okay, let's talk Batman.
Batman. Okay, Batman so far has been disappointing as a character for 0 month. I'm going to just start off with Batman.
Yeah, the first half was just okay. I thought that the conversation between Gordon and Bruce Wayne was deftly constructed by Scott Snyder, because they both are, this is clearly two very intelligent men figuring out how to dance in conversation one with another.
It was fun to watch.
And it worked really, really well. But the rest of the issue doesn't really do much for me. And it ends with a really, really big cliffhanger and then says, "Story continues in 2013. And I'm like, "Screw you. I don't want it to continue then."
Yeah, why did you introduce this if you're going to have the whole...
So now there's also some questions about the Red Hood. Is this the Joker pre the chemical bath? Is that who we're seeing in the Red Hood here?
I think so.
I think so, too, because he's always got a sneer picking out from underneath
that mask.
Oh,
and he has a very similar facial structure as well. I think it is. I thought it was kind of... I liked the Killing Joke version of the Joker being this normal, just down-on-his-luck guy who's just thrown in this situation. He doesn't know what he's doing. Where now, it looks like in this that he's the ringleader of a gang. And I don't really like that approach. I miss the old Killing Joke approach more. So, once again, I was a little disappointed with this new origin of Batman. And I feel like... So far, Detective Comics and the Batman main title have been just kind of
just okay,
run of the mill,
just telling us stuff we already kind of knew.
Exactly, and it further proves Braden's point that he made initially about zero issues when I was defending the zero issues, that these are kind of unnecessary. Now I'm going to have to say I agree. Not for every title.
There are some that we'll be excited about, but this wasn't one of them.
Batman, yeah, but the backup issue written by James Tynion IV
was really good.
I loved. I loved seeing how Batman and the Bat Signal affected everyone in the future Bat family, and that was fun to see.
Yeah.
And I thought it was written well. It gives me a little bit more high hopes for... Not that I thought Talon was going to be lame, though the book that he's going to start on, I think next week or in 2 weeks. But I think he should be writing bigger titles.
Yeah, and we'll see how he writer. Does. We'll see, but he's brand new. This is the only thing he's ever done is written backups. So if he's got to cut his teeth on Talon, and then if he's good, they'll give him a bigger book. Let him cut his teeth.
I think he should do Action Comics. I want him to do Action Comics when Grant Morrison is done.
I will take your word for it. I don't know that I trust him that much yet because he's just been doing backups. But
I know, but I just like
we'll
his
see
style.
How he does. We'll see
I
how
like
he does.
His style.
All right, next up, let's talk Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Is this essentially Damian's origin story?
This is Damian's origin story, and this is an example of why to do issue zero. Because if you're a Grant Morrison fan, you're a fan of his Batman run, this is basically not the actual conception of Damian, but... Him being in a... Because he wasn't in the womb of Tally. It looks like he was in this artificial incubator. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so some things are different in the new 52 version of Batman. We know most of his continuity came over whole cloth, but that is very different.
I think so, yeah. Amniotic fluid drain, incubator womb unlocked. Yeah, I think he was in an artificial womb. Because there's the umbilical cord. And so...
I don't know how I feel about that.
I didn't know that he wasn't in... I always assumed that he was.
He was in the comics, in the originals, before
really?
The new 52. He and Talia had the cest.
No. Batman, no, sorry. Batman, Bruce Wayne and Talia had sex. That's
and
not what
made,
it's...
And she gestated little Damian. That's
oh,
how it
really?
Works. No, in the original,
oh,
before the new 52.
Them. How did I not pick up on that?
Oh, she
read
gave,
the whole run.
She gave birth to him.
Oh, wow. Well, I need to get
at any
back
rate,
on track. Jeez.
At any rate, anyway. Nice way to switch things up, guys.
Yeah, so, but it looks like they might explain the continuity issue because it doesn't say that Damian's put in the Lazarus Pit, but it looks like that he is. I mean, it's Talia al Ghul and there's a pool, so I'm guessing it's Lazarus Pit.
Yeah.
So hopefully, maybe that accelerated his growth in age.
Yeah,
because
it doesn't really make sense because the two Batman titles have established that Batman has only been active for 6, maybe 7 years tops. Most of, and the first two of which he had no Robin. Robins have only been around for the last 5 years, and little Damian's 10.
Yes.
So, anyway, complicated.
But it's great to see who Damian is and why he is the way that he is, and they're like, Talia is one messed up mother.
You know
she
it, baby.
She is awful, but
you know it.
It was fun to see him training and his desire to find out who is my father. And the coolest thing that I loved is you see him put on this the cowl and the cape.
I saw that. It was cute.
It was cute. It's like, oh, because
we know
being a little tender.
Because we know by reading Grant Morrison, and we'll see this soon in Batman Incorporated, he is destined, if things don't change,
to be Batman.
He's going to be Bad A Batman in the trench coat in the future.
Oh, yeah. So
we'll see what happens.
I'm going to give it total adore it.
Adore it.
And I love this issue. And if you're a fan of Grant Morrison's run, you need to have, or at least read this issue. Because
interesting.
It's fun to see what happens between him meeting Batman the first time in the pre-52 and in Grant Morrison's run. And then also to see how he was trained. I loved this issue.
I'm glad to hear it.
Once again, another reason why to have zero issue for certain characters.
A successful zero issue.
Yes.
So here's my question for you.
Yeah.
I know you're not currently following that title. Are you going to put it on your pull list anytime soon?
Which title?
Batman and Robin.
No.
No, you're still going to keep it off the pull list?
Okay. I am. I have too many other things I want to read. And
see, that's how I feel. I'm afraid, this is off topic, but I'm afraid I'm going to drop Batman after the Death of the Family arc.
Really?
Cause especially if you're still reading it. There is so much other stuff I want to read, as you guys will see.
Take my issues and borrow them.
I just am loving some of this alternate reality stuff and some of these creator-owned stuff. I might drop Batman. No offense, Scott Snyder. I love your book. I just don't know that I can afford two books from you a month, and I'm going to buy Swamp Thing over Batman.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's how I feel about this. There's so many other Batman stuff. I want to try out the new Detective Comics with, I think, Jeff Lehman is going to be doing that. So, no, I mean... I get my Damian and Batman Inc., so I don't need him in Batman and Robin.
Very true. Okay, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, another character that really benefits from the zero issue. And look, this isn't going to blow your mind. If you're not a Frankenstein fan, it's not going to convert you. But if you are, it's really fun to see how he was created. It was fun to see, once again, the always the dynamic, which is kind of like Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Did you see that movie, Brayden?
I honestly haven't yet.
Oh!
I'm a huge fan of the original five movies, so I haven't. I haven't seen it
yet. It's amazing, because it's so fun to see how the animals, the apes, are more human and have more humanistic qualities than the humans, who are barbaric and animalistic. And you see that with Frankenstein, with Victor Frankenstein, and how just of a monster he is, even though he is human, and how great and caring and I don't want to say charming, but Frankenstein's just a great gentleman, you know?
That's cool.
He really cares about people, and you see that, how it started and why he is the way that he is with the Zero Agent of Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. I'm going to get him to explore it. Another solid entry by Matt Kent and Alberto Ponticelli. I always love his artwork. It just fits this style and series so well.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to give it, total explore it. It was a good, solid issue.
Cool. We like you, Matt Kent, but I can't wait till mine management. It's a fact. Okay, let's talk Green Lantern Corps.
Green Lantern Corps.
How did you feel? Because you didn't like... I think we both talked about Green Lantern last week and how we kind of liked it, but there were problems with it. Is this Guy Gardner's origin? Is that what we're getting
this
here?
This is why Guy Gardner is a Green Lantern. And I know that you're like, well, duh, obviously he's Green Lantern Corps. But no, let me just get something
Sell me here. On Guy Gardner, because I've always hated him.
Okay, well, this is exactly why, because people always think, you have Jon Stewart, Kyle Rayner, Hal Jordan, why do we need Guy Gardner, who's a total just...
He's a blowhard.
He's obnoxious, and he's an idiot, and he's annoying. No, you see that it's like Hawkeye in Avenging Spider-Man 4. You get a glimpse of why he is the way that he is, and you're like, oh, he's actually more endearing now, and I really care about him.
Very cool.
It's the same thing with Guy Gardner. You see that he comes from a police family, and he's the black sheep because of some... they don't really explain what happened, but he was basically framed and kicked off the force, and he's now the bane of his dad's existence.
Ooh.
But Guy Gardner shows how loyal he is, how he really just fights for everyone.
And, cool.
And it's a defense mechanism, the way that he is, because he struggles with how not having that relationship with his dad, even though he tries to fix it, his dad just ignores him. And it made me love Guy Gardner, and I can now see why he is a Green Lantern, and he should be a Green Lantern. In fact, issue will convert you. You may not love him, but you'll
say, okay, I get it.
I get it, exactly.
Okay, cool. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it a total adore.
Really?
I loved it,
okay.
Yes. In fact, the artist, Fernando Passerin, he's been doing some of the past issues that I've been complaining about, but no, when he's in a normal real-world setting...
Works.
It totally works.
Not too much green.
I didn't even recognize it was the same artist, so...
Well, to be honest, maybe we should complain about all that green to the colorist.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if there's one thing I've noticed lately, color can make a huge difference.
It really can.
Because you brought up Hawkeye, I'm going to bring it up again because that issue 2 last week was the best issue I bought. Color. And Matt Hollingsworth did the best coloring I've ever seen in a comic book because everything was purple, but I wanted it to be purple. It worked so well.
And it didn't
so clearly. So clearly the colorist in Green Lantern Corps needs to go to Matt Hollingsworth and say, teach me your color ways, your monochrome ways.
A good point because it is hard
everything,
to tell the difference.
Everything was purple or fleshy toned in that entire Hawkeye book, but it worked. Every page worked.
No, and I love this issue. Once again, another benefit of the Zero Month.
Well, I'm glad to hear some of them are turning out good for
you. Yeah, it was great.
All right, our last issue from DC is a Vertigo title. It is the best Vertigo title. It is Punk Rock Jesus number 3.
I would say that this is one of the best. This will be a comic that we talk about for 20 years from now.
I think it may be.
This comic is amazing.
This is going to be one of those Vertigo titles that our kids will pick up in trades.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they'll pick up things like Sandman and Hellblazer. Punk Rock Jesus will be one of them.
Love this series.
It built off everything that has happened in the first two issues to an even more satisfying conclusion. I just feel for these characters.
Every single one.
Except for Slade.
You hate him, though. But that's a good thing.
But you feel so much emotion for every single character. We see little Chris grow up essentially throughout this thing.
Which I have to make a point is going forward in time and skipping time is very difficult to do well.
But they did it incredibly well. It
was perfectly.
Sean Murphy did it better than anyone has maybe ever done
it
in a comic.
And it makes sense.
And he didn't even have to say 5 years later.
Yeah, like, I know. There's no.
It was done. It was done completely in the flow of the comic, and it worked beautifully. Chris is a little hellion, and I'm really excited to see what happens to him. And what about those last two pages?
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Skip ahead 2 minutes if you haven't read Punk Rock Jesus and don't want it to be spoiled for you. The very end, is her name Gwen?
Mm-hmm.
Gwen throws herself off a building.
Which got me very emotionally just agitated because I feel for her.
Suddenly, this winged being grabs her by the shoulders, throws her in her bed, and says, "What kind of effing mother are you?" And then disappears. And she wakes up like it was a dream.
Now, is she in the hospital or is she back in her bedroom? I think she's back in her bedroom.
Yeah, she is. Anyway, she wakes up, goes in the bathroom, and she's got handprints on her shoulders.
She knows it was real.
So the question is, who is this winged figure?
I was thinking maybe, I was like, wow, is this another introduction to a superhero in Punk Rock Jesus? But I was
think it's an angel.
And I actually think I agree with you because in the beginning of this issue, she talks about how an angel...
Yep. There's allusions to angels throughout this whole book. And I think that...
Oh, it's Daniel the Lion's Den, right?
Yeah.
She's talking about
some
angel
sort of God...
Daniel.
Something.
Intervention.
Again, never mentions God, per se. Some sort of God something sent this angel something to save her. And I think that it's going to create really interesting theological questions about this issue going forward. If you're not buying this book, you won't get it. If you are buying this book, then you know exactly why. I am so excited about it.
Oh.
Adore
this. This is one of the best comics I've ever read.
Oh, yeah.
Not even just this.
And we're only halfway through it, man. We got 3 more months of this.
This series.
Thank you, Sean Murphy.
It's a wonder to behold. Because of reading. It's just a great social commentary on everything.
It really is.
Because... the world is screwed up, and he explains that very well in this story.
He really is.
So.
Okay, so we got to do a couple of DC-related things that aren't comics, but Darren's going to tell us about them real super quick.
Yes, so we have... I watched Superman vs. the Elite as a study break from my board exams.
Which is based on one issue, right?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure it was only one issue in the Superman book. How was it as a 90-minute movie?
If you're not a Superman fan, it's not going to convert you, and I'd say ignore it. But if you are a Superman fan... I'm going to give it a total explore it. It was fun to watch Superman up against other crazy superhumans. And this is a social commentary in the war on terror. And if you're conservative,
very much so.
You're going to be annoyed. If you're middle ground like I am, you're like, oh, there's some really good arguments presented here. If you're more left and liberal, you're going to be cheering right along with what they're portraying here. And that's exactly what it is. It is a social commentary. It was very well done. The only complaint I have is that the artwork didn't fit the feel of the movie.
Yeah.
It should have been more done in the take of like the Dark Knight Returns that they're going to release very soon, or Batman Year One. I feel like the artwork should have been more like that instead of... Uh-huh. I feel like it's a little bit more kiddie with the heavy tones. Okay. It didn't really work.
Interesting.
But I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give it
a word on the, yeah, word on the street is that it worked better as a movie than it did as a comic.
Yeah, I mean, the characters, the elite, there's 4 of them. You see why they're doing what they're doing. And you have empathy with them and you can relate. Not relate to them because they have superpowers. You're like, oh, yeah, would I do what they're doing if I had those powers? Maybe.
Interesting.
I don't know. It was really well done.
Interesting.
So, last is the DC Robot Chicken Special. This was hilarious.
Quality work.
I loved it. I didn't like as much as the Star Wars ones, but those are the Star Wars
funny.
Ones. Those
it was
yeah.
really, really
it
funny.
The Superman one where he kisses Lois Lane and then kisses his villains to help them forget who he is or to love him was probably one of the funniest things I've seen in a really long time.
Oh, my goodness.
When
it
he
was
descends
very, very
on
funny.
Brainiac.
Oh, my. That's when I lost it. It was beautiful. So good job, Robot Chicken,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, it was great. Total adore it. Loved it, yeah. Loved it.
It was a lot of fun. Okay, let's talk a couple Image Comics really quick. I bought Manhattan Projects issue 6. I had not read Manhattan Projects because, again, we had kind of started this podcast when it was 3 or 4 issues in, so it was too late for me to say, oh, this is a book that's getting a lot of good press. There weren't any copies at my store past issue 3 going back. So, luckily, last week, Image put out the first collected trade paperback with issues 1 through 5. Get with it, DC. Don't put them out 6 months after the comics do. They put it out.
Sense.
They
Aquaman
put it out the
just
week.
Came out.
They put it out the week before issue 6 came out. So I bought it on Monday when I was downtown at my comic store. I read it Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. You are darn sure I went and bought issue 6 because I was sold.
I love the cover of issue 6.
All of them have awesome covers like this.
Oh, really?
Every book, every one of the Manhattan Project books has a cover that looks as cool as this.
I love the cover.
It is a stellar project. Jonathan Hickman, for those of you who don't know, has been writing some of the stuff at the Big Two. He's been writing Fantastic Four and Future Foundation for Marvel, but he's been doing Secret and Manhattan Projects as creator-owned stuff at Image. Now, Secret, the last issue came out 3 months ago, and we're still waiting for issue 3, which I'm sure will be great when it comes out, because I really liked issues 1 and 2, but whatever. This is beautiful. For those of you who don't know what it's about, it's basically an alternative reality version of science around the mid-century of the mid-19th century. So we've got Robert Oppenheimer. This is the Manhattan Projects. You've got Robert Oppenheimer. You've got Albert Einstein. But, you know, it's Robert Oppenheimer's demented twin brother who ate his twin brother to be able to absorb his memories. Or this is actually Albrecht Einstein from a parallel dimension who murdered the original Einstein and came over across. Super weird and super great, and you should go buy the trade because it's awesome. I'm going to give it an explore it.
Oh, really? Because I was not expecting that.
I'm going to give it an explore it simply because this is not a good place to start.
Oh, okay.
You need to have issues 1 through 5 if you want to know what's going on.
But if you have 1 through 5.
But if you have 1 through 5, this is another solid issue. It's showing more of the Russian side of things in this technological race for superiority between the Americans and the Russians. This book is crazy. It's just crazy. You should be reading it.
I think I'll borrow it.
You should. You should.
I think I will.
Take the trade with you when you go today.
Might as well.
Second up is issue 4 of Mind the Gap, which actually came out last week, but I had a heck of a time getting my hands on issue 3 because I found at my store a month or so ago issues 1 and 2 sitting on the wall, and they looked fascinating, and issue 2 was like a double-sized $2.99 issue, and you're like, 40 pages for $2.99, how can I pass it up? So I bought it, and it's wonderful. It's about a girl who has had she's been attacked on a subway platform, and so she is now in a coma, and her mind and or spirit is drifting about trying to figure out what has happened to her, who she is, and how she can get back into her body.
That's a cool concept.
Everybody is a suspect, with the exception of one. There's one person we know for a fact didn't do it, which is her best friend Joe. But other than that,
I bet. How do you know
anybody
for sure?
Else? Because it very clearly defines that in the very first issue that she's the one who receives the call because she's on the phone with Joe when she's attacked. And so we know that Joe was not the person, but there is a cast of at least 7 or 8 other people who could be guilty. Everyone is a suspect. No one is innocent.
That's like a good tagline for that comic book.
That is the tagline.
There was a movie. Oh, is it? Okay.
That's what it says. That's what it says in the comic book.
Brandon, wow, I was really impressed right there.
I'm not that smart. Anyway, I'm going to give it an explore, but it is on the very cusp to adore it. It was really solid. It's labyrinthine. It's gorgeous, and it leaves me eager for more.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So if you're looking for something outside of the norm, Mind the Gap is very good. All right, let's talk some more Marvel. I have a good chunk of Marvel this week. Avengers vs. X-Men, round 11. Screw this book. It's another waste of my $4. Everything that I predicted to happen would happen.
Really? Scott, so you predicted the death.
A death. I didn't know whose death it was going to be, but I predicted a death in this issue. And Charles Xavier's as good as anyone else. Spoiler alerts, if you didn't see that on any of the comic book sites, you don't deserve to have a spoiler alert for that one. Anyway, and the big fight between Emma and Scott is there on the cover, so I knew that was coming.
Yeah, what's up with her costume?
That's her Phoenix costume.
That's her Phoenix costume?
Yeah.
It's like a metal bikini.
It's exactly like a metal bikini. Anyway, whatever. I hope. More than anything, I feel stupid about this series, because if you read the Zero issue, you were so excited to see Scarlet Witch, Hope, who matters more? How do they matter? Oh, they don't matter at all.
I was going to say, are they even relevant anymore?
No. Stupid. It looks beautiful. Olivia Coipel does great work in this issue, But
you don't read comic books just to look at the art, though.
All I know is in 2 weeks, they better give me an explosive 12th issue.
I don't think
and
they will.
I want Cyclops dead. I know he's not going to be, but...
He's not. Obviously, because we know from Marvel now.
Which I want him dead.
Whatever, but...
I hate him. Anyway, Avenging Spider-Man.
This was a good... I heard great stuff about this comic.
This is a Deadpool comic with Spider-Man as a supporting role. That's what this is.
Oh, really? It was sold out at my comic shop, so I wasn't able to get it.
It's a Deadpool comic. If you like Deadpool... Especially if you like Deadpool dressed as a cheerleader, you're gonna love this. If you like the movie Inception, you're gonna like this. If you like jokey Spider-Man stories, you're gonna love it. I loved it. I'm gonna give it an adore it. It was hilarious. It was very strong work. I really feel like Kevin Shinnick, if they didn't already have announced who the new Deadpool writer should be, it should be Kevin Shinnick, because he does stellar work with the Merc with a Mouth here. Anyway, I don't usually like Deadpool that much. It was solid. It was really solid. It set up a great cliffhanger to set up the second issue, because this is a two-issue arc. It's got the Hypno Hustler back. How can you lose when the Hypno Hustler is breaking out of jail? Anyway, adore it. Go buy it if you like.
I was really crushed if you when like I found Deadpool. It was sold out. I wasn't able to go on Wednesday because I had to study for my stupid board exam.
You
so
can
I
borrow mine.
Out.
You can I borrow will. Mine. It's good. Captain America. This is a filler issue because they needed two issues before Brubaker ended his run.
Really? Yeah, I got
all I have to say.
Online I saw.
This is a filler issue. I still feel like I can't figure out what Diamondback is trying to do. I feel like they're setting up Sharon and Steve's breakup.
Another breakup?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. It's like a year.
I think that's going to happen. Anyway.
Hadn't they already broken up already, though?
A few times.
Because when I was reading Winter Soldier, they were broken up.
A few times. They've been broken up.
And then, like, her boyfriend died, which is pretty sad, but... Yeah.
Anyway, this is just a filler issue. Just, you can ignore it.
Good to know.
Or explore it, I guess. It's treading water. I want this issue... I've got two more issues of Cap, and then Remender takes over. I've loved Brubaker's run, by and large. I feel like it's been worse since Cullen Bunn came on the book with him. Other than those last two issues were really solid, but that's because they had a lot of... political overtones to him. All that kind of melts away here. This is kind of boring. I just want Remender to start his book already. November.
Just pull off the band-aid. Don't like,
November.
Just kind of like slowly do it, you know?
All right. Next up, we have Captain America and Black Widow, which is another Cullen Bunn series. This is the Captain America and book, where various and sundry different characters get some FaceTime with Cap.
Now, does the title change where it's Captain America and whoever?
Uh-huh, Okay. Like, the last issue was Captain America and Namor. The three issues before that were Captain America and Iron Man. Captain America and Hawkeye for a while.
Yeah,
Captain America and Bucky was its name for a long time.
Oh, that's... Yeah,
This is the book Captain America and Bucky.
Oh!
And it's evolved
because...
I'm wondering
what happened to Captain America
Bucky's
and Bucky.
Too busy being the Winter Soldier.
Oh, which is amazing.
Which we'll talk about in a couple of books here. This was an interesting issue because it looks like... Natasha is being a bad guy. And it ends on a cliffhanger, so yes, I'll buy the next copy just because I have to find out what happened. But explore it. I don't know. It was kind of a weird issue all around. The art was good. I thought it was really solid to look at. But I felt like it was not a normal characterization of Black Widow. And I think it might be an alternate dimension Black Widow, which is why she's different. But it just... Yeah, anyway. I would buy the second one just because it's only two issues and I want to wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah. Might as well.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, let's talk Brian Wood again.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk Brian Wood. So, I have really enjoyed Ultimate Comics All New Spider-Man. For those of you who haven't heard the last two reviews I've done.
It's been gushing.
Yeah, it and Spider-Man are just phenomenal books. It's what a Spider-Man book should be.
Because let's
consequently,
be honest, the Amazing Spider-Man right now is not that great.
Not that great. I've bought the last couple issues. I'll buy till issue 700. There's talk that they're going to do a big relaunch of Spider-Man in January. That was
really?
The big. That was one of the one teaser that came out this week for the Marvel Now teasers was the word Superior.
Okay, I saw that.
Some people think it might be Mark Miller's creator-owned book called Superior. Being brought into the Marvel Universe.
No.
Not really likely.
You wouldn't give the
some people,
teaser as the name of the comic.
Yeah, some people think that it's going to be the reintroduction of Miracle Man, because all of the legal battles with Miracle Man have finally been resolved. But some people, there's an inside source that says it's a relaunch of the Spider-Man book
that after issue 700. Cool. I will pick that up.
We'll see what in a couple of weeks when they tell us what it really is.
Yeah.
But I would love for it to be a relaunch of Spider-Man. Anyway, so back to... Because I've really enjoyed Ultimate Spider-Man, I decided... And there's a big crossover event in the Ultimate Universe right now. I decided there's only three Ultimate books, and they've been getting pretty rave reviews ever since the relaunch a couple of years ago. I think I need to start buying all three of the Ultimate books. So I hunted down in my local stores the last couple issues, or well, at least all of the crossover issues of the Ultimates and X-Men. And so this is actually the first issue of the new... There was two crossovers right after each other, Divided We Fall, and then the new one started this week in X-Men called United We Stand. It's the reintroduction of Nick Fury into the Marvel Universe, or into the Ultimate Universe. Kitty Pryde is awesome. I've always been a Kitty Pryde fan. You make her the leader. I'm that much more sold on this book. Wood just knows how to write really well, and he does exceptional work with these X-Men here.
Really?
It's not... I was able to buy this and the one that tied into Divided We Fall and get enough out of it that I could get caught up. I didn't feel like I needed to go back and read the last 10 years worth of Ultimate X-Men. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
I definitely give Brian Wood props for being able to drop me into issue 15 of a book, and I felt like I belonged. Anyway, I'm going to give it an... I'm going to give it an adore it. He's a consistently talented writer, and I feel like at this point I'll buy pretty much any book that has his name on it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's always fun to see...
Because writers. He hasn't disappointed me.
No, he hasn't.
There's other ones who I thought I could trust that much, and they've disappointed me.
Mark Waid.
I didn't say it, but I meant it. But I'm now buying four Brian Wood books, and all four of them are great.
Well, that's what I'm going to say is...
And they're vastly different from one another. Conan, the X-Men, and a post-apocalyptic sea venture.
What? And they're four books... Coming out monthly, that's a lot of balancing out to have four quality books.
And to have distinctive voices for the characters in all these books, because he has
talent.
Very distinct voices for all of these characters. He's extremely talented.
Yeah.
So props to you, Brian Wood. You kick ass. Anyway, let's talk Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, we skipped Incredible Hulk. I'm so insensitive. We skipped Incredible Hulk.
My feelings are hurt, but I'll forgive you this one time. No,
I was in the zone.
You were in the zone, and you're doing a fine job at it. Okay, Incredible Hulk. I picked up issue 1 and 2 when Jason Aaron first started this.
Uh-huh.
And Brayden knows, I was ripping on it.
He's a huge Incredible Hulk fan. It didn't work for him.
No, it didn't. And this is why, because I read a lot of Greg Pak stuff, especially I loved Planet Hulk. World War Hulk, I thought was meh. I think it's a little overrated.
Planet Hulk
is amazing. And so everyone's saying, oh, this is a great jumping on point, especially if you're a fan of Hulk in the movies, blah, blah, blah. It was not a great jumping on point. Betty Ross was alive. She's a Red Hulk. Bruce Banner and the Hulk are separated. It didn't make any sense to me.
Complicated.
Yeah, so you lied to me, Internet. Anyway, so I decided that Jason Aaron is... This is last arc before he goes on to Thor, and Mark Waid takes over. I thought, you know what? I'm going to pick up on this and just see what's going on. And look, the first couple pages, if you haven't been following it, you're going to be confused as all get out. It's not going to make any sense. But starting about page 4 and page 5, it starts to click together. All you need to know... is they're separated still. Bruce Banner is a psychotic, weird, just awful person, and he's going around the world trying to find different pieces to find a cure for the Hulk. And this issue was great. This is what I want. It's very different.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see Bruce Banner as the psycho one. That Hulk is the one that is keeping them together mentally. Mm-hmm. This is total adore it. This was what I wanted in a Hulk.
Awesome.
Book, because it's very, very different
from just
Hulk getting angry and smashing stuff.
Yeah, how many more issues do you have until Aaron's done? Three?
I think there's two more after this.
Because they're doing two in October?
I think so.
Because I think that all the four big books, Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, and Cap, are all doing two issues in October before their launches in November.
Because there's no way they're going to tie this up in two. And it was a fun issue, and I...
Yeah. Really liked it, huh?
I loved it. I mean,
cool.
It was just... Who doesn't want to see Bruce Banner's the psycho?
Yeah, but
really?
we gotta get this resolved somehow.
Yeah,
because he's got to be science bros with Iron Man come November.
That's true.
So hopefully he's not psycho anymore.
No, he won't be. They'll make it work out.
Oh, good.
You see a good side of Bruce Banner at the end.
That's what I heard, is that you finally understand him not as a psychopath, but as someone who's just trying to get this thing fixed.
Yes, yes.
So, good. Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
This is one... Okay, let me premise something. We've done two pull-list episodes, right?
We have so far.
The first two I recommended were terrible. The second one I recommended, Batgirl, wasn't terrible. I didn't really care for it. So I'm like so striking you're out like here. But Winter Soldier...
Half for four. No, this is...
Winter Soldier lived up to what I wanted.
Yeah,
so I'm one for four.
Hey, one of the ones I talked about this week didn't even come out this week because I didn't pay enough attention to realize Fatale was not coming out this week all. Brubaker!
It happens. It happens. But it was my worst fears realized story-wise, not quality-wise. But Bucky and Natasha are probably not going to be together anymore.
It breaks my soul.
And when you see the flashbacks of them together, your heart aches.
Yeah.
Your heart really aches. And I really hate, with a strong passion.
Leo Novikov is the worst. I did love that scene.
Hate him.
I loved that scene when it was revealed to Hawkeye and Wolverine that Bucky was still alive.
Uh-huh.
And they're both just like, "You're a jerk." It was pretty brilliant.
Yeah, another solid entry to the Winter Soldier. Total Dorit. I don't think I've given Explore to any Winter Soldier. It's just a phenomenal series.
It's been great. It's 10 issues of solid, solid
work. I would
say
this is the best series that Marvel is putting out. I will say that.
I think that there's a lot of people who would not disagree with you.
I
don't know that it's the very best series of all the stuff that I'm reading from Marvel, but it's darn good. Because I would say Captain Marvel's probably my very, very favorite.
Oh, true.
And then probably Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. But it's definitely in the top three or four. It just looks so good, and it's so heartbreaking.
This was one of the saddest issues I read this week. Granted, the other one's really sad, but...
But 2 weeks...
Your heart aches.
2 weeks, we're getting another issue. They're not wasting any time. This is like 2 or 3 months in a row we've gotten 2 issues of this book.
I'm not complaining. My wallet is, but I'm not.
Oh, I'm not either. All right. This is now on to Extreme X-Men. This is wrapping up this first arc, and it's really solid. I love Dazzler. She's a BAMF, and she shows it in this book. And that's why I will keep buying it, even though it's just a pretty okay book. Greg Pak is the writer.
This 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Oh.
They put out a book 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, this was a good way to wrap it up. I think they've lost one of their member already, of their little five-sum of madness. But that's okay, because it was the Emma Frost, and who likes Emma Frost?
No one
She's
does.
She's the worst. But all that matters is that
they
Dazzler's
do, it's just because they like how she looks.
All that matters is we've still got Dazzler, floating disembodied head of Charles Xavier, Kid Nightcrawler, and Commander James Howlett of his Royal Majesty's Navy, or whatever he is. All that matters is he's Wolverine General Dude. Anyway, it's great. It's a beautiful book. I'm going to give it an Explore It. But this is... Each issue has gotten better than the issue before.
Yeah, because I remember the first one, you're like, what?
Yeah, each one's gotten better, and Dazzler is a great lead for a team, and I'm excited to keep reading it.
Well, there you go.
I think it'll keep getting better. Okay, quick detour to Oni Press. Stumptown by Greg Rucka, Volume 2, Issue 1. Greg Rucka, I love you. I adore your writing. That's all. I did not read the first Stumptown book. It was 4 or 5 issues that came out 3 years ago. It's collected, but it was a big hardcover that was like $30 at my store. And I was like, not right now. Let me read this first issue first. It's a great first issue.
What is
you don't
story?
Need to have,
like, what is,
it's, she's the a premise? Private eye. There's a private eye who has a private detective agency called Stumptown Detective Agency. And this one is about it's the case of the baby in the velvet case.
Oh, so is it a standalone issue?
No, it's going to be, I think, 4 or 5.
Oh, okay.
It's a limited series.
Where does it take place? What city?
Portland. Stumptown.
Portland. Oh, I didn't know.
Stumptown is a nickname for Portland, I guess.
Hey, there you go.
Anyway, the baby is a guitar, not an actual baby.
Well, hey.
Which makes sense why we're putting it into a velvet case. It's beautifully drawn. Matthew Southwark does great work on the illustrations. Rico Renzi does really phenomenal and vibrant colors. But really, I like Greg Rucka's narrative style, and he succeeds here. So it's a great issue. I'd say adored.
Oh. It's a cool premise. I love the cover to it.
Yeah, it's
I compliment a lot of covers in a lot of comics. I realize that. But
that's what brings you in. That's how it sells you.
That's why I'm a sucker for marketing.
And this cover sold me. And so did the name Greg Rucka, because you're awesome, Greg. Yeah. That's all. Okay, let's move on to our last two books, a couple of Valiant entries. Let's talk Harbinger. Looks like you got the different cover than I did.
I did. I like your cover more.
I do too. It's Faith.
I know. Mine's just kind of meh. It's him looking depressed, and his hair color is different on the cover than it is in the book. Is it really that hard? I love it, but really?
One of these times they're going to get it straight.
Hopefully.
Anyway, how did you feel about this book?
All right. This, to me, is X-Men with no lovable characters. That's exactly what it is.
Yet.
Well, yeah.
I hope that we get some lovable characters.
True. For me, I don't care about any of them. Harada is just an evil corporate version of Professor X. Peter is just—he's just angry, and you'd have there's no really redeeming qualities about him. Wolverine is an angry guy too, but either you love him because
he's an irascible scoundrel.
Yes, and you love his powers with his claws and whatnot. Peter reminds me of Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him.
And I am excited to see more of Faith because I've read online that she is very important in the. The original series from the 90s. And she was the one character I actually felt pathos for. I really liked her.
Because she's lonely. She spends a lot of her time on the computer.
Online.
No real friendship or relationships.
Yeah. So I felt for her, and I liked her, and I want to see more of her and less of Peter.
Yeah, and I'm going to drop it.
I'm going to keep picking it up. I'm gonna buy all of the Valiant books for the first little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what did you think about the sneak preview of Shadow Man?
Oh, I'm picking up Shadow Man.
Are you picking up Shadow Man?
I am picking up Shadow Man.
Oh, I'm picking up Shadow Man too. Come November
is.
Oh yeah.
Mind blowing. It is so good. Yeah.
Who's doing the art?
I don't know.
Patrick Zurcher is the person.
I never heard of the guy, but he's.
It's great looking.
And Shadow Man.
Shadow Man is
a great
looking character.
Yes.
It looks like a book with a lot of hooks in it. I'm excited about
it. I think Shadow Man will be
the Valiant book.
I think it will be.
We'll see what happens.
Because right now it's X-O Man of War, but I think it will
be. Which I'm going to talk about right now. So it was awesome!
That's what I hear with Ninjak. Can't go wrong with
Ninjak. Ninjak was awesome. Anyway, so you're giving Harbinger an ignore it.
I'm going to explore it. It wasn't terrible.
I'm still sticking with explore it for all of the Valiant books, because none of them are like, I have to buy this every month, but all of them have been like, this is pretty good.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where there's other titles I want to buy, so.
Yeah. I totally know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Anyway, X-O Man of War. This is the start of the second arc.
Can I see your cover? It is the cover with the blade between his mask. Oh, that is so cool.
It's awesome. That's
just sick.
This was a really solid. Maybe I'm finally going to give a Valiant book a Dorit.
That's what I hear. Everyone's saying, like, Ninjak.
Ninjak was awesome. His introduction was fascinating, and he came out of nowhere and totally just like stuck Eric in his place.
Really?
Oh, 3 pages. That's all it took him to take him down. 3 pages.
In that suit?
He didn't have the suit on.
Oh.
Ninjak's tricky. He waited until Eric took the suit off and chucked some ninja stars at him with sleep agent on them. Screw you, Eric. Go to bed. Yeah,
he's like Batman meets Elektra.
Mm-hmm. And for more money. Anyway, it's good stuff. I'm really excited about this issue and where this book is going. It's good.
Really?
I really like it. I'm gonna change my mind on what I have written here. I'm gonna finally say adore it to one of the
glad to know
titles from Valiant.
Ninjak lived up to the hype.
Boy, did he. He was awesome.
Because a lot of people had a lot of expectations for him.
Yeah.
Especially and that's now that they're promoting him.
Yeah. This is the end of our Valiant books for the month. There's nothing more coming out till October now.
Oh, that's right.
Because I only have the 4 titles. They put 2 out last week and 2 out this week.
So true.
I don't know why they did 2 a week instead of 1 each week, but hey, no judgment from me.
Yeah, I'll hurt him in the bottom line for the month, but whatever.
Yeah, it might not. Maybe it won't.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway. Okay, so what was your hero moment?
My hero moment, it has to be, obviously, because my big, huge, super crush, no pun intended, on Barbara Gordon, has to be her putting on the bat suit.
With good reason.
When she comes out, and she looks so menacing and tough.
That big old like, nasty Kevlar vest with the bat symbols blazing across it.
Why can't you be real, and why can't I marry you?
Sorry, Darren.
I know. Sorry. I just love Barbara Gordon.
With good reason. It was really great.
That was just, I got really happy. A big smile on my face when I saw that. Total hero moment of the week.
Yeah?
Yeah. So what was yours?
Ironically enough, my hero moment of the week comes from Avengers vs. X-Men 11.
Which is surprising since you really
ignored
like
the book. Bobby Drake, the Iceman, my favorite X-Man, has one moment of pure awesome when he puts Cyclops in his place, even after he's got the Phoenix powers. Because you have to remember, Bobby Drake is one of the five most powerful mutants on the face of the planet Earth. And he was, when there was tens of thousands of mutants, one of the five most powerful mutants. Sure, it's less important now that there's only 200 left, but he's always been one of the very most powerful characters in the entire Marvel Universe. And he shoved Cyclops down in his place. And Cyclops is like, because he's saying all this stuff like, "Why must you always attack us?" And he shoves him down in the ground and freezes him. He says, "It's not us, dude. It's you. You're a douche." Like, not literally, but that's essentially the tenor of it. It works really well. And I just love Bobby. I love
Bobby Drake, yeah.
I just love Bobby. So that's my hero moment.
I love his powers.
My villain moment of the week comes from Exo Man of War. It's that thing I just told you all about of Ninjak kicking Eric's butt in 3 pages. Because I was expecting it to be like, lots of fighting! And there was some fighting earlier on with some paramilitary guys in Exo. But no, Eric got schooled by Ninjak in 3 pages.
Ninja style.
Ninja style is right. It was awesome. So I have to give him props for being a cool villain.
There you go. Mine has to be another Valiant, actually. Harada. Harada, for all you don't know, he is the leader of the organization that houses all these...
He's the corporate Charles Xavier, like you said. Yeah,
exactly. And so they find normal people and try to give them powers, basically. And there's a 1 in 4 chance that they will not only die, their brain like blows out of the back of their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's painful. And so he manipulates Peter into giving Faith powers. And I just... To put a young teenager who's already mentally messed up in that situation that he might kill someone, and he does almost
kill Faith. It's a really despicable moment.
I just like, I hate you! And you're supposed to be the Charles Xavier who's bringing all these people in for a good cause.
I think that he is the villain of the piece.
Oh, I think he is.
I think that first couple issues misled you into thinking he might be a Charles Xavier type.
He's not. He's a Magneto.
Yeah, he's a villain.
He's totally a villain. So that's my villain moment of the week.
Anyway.
I cannot stand Harada. Cool. Oh, his brains blow out of his head.
I do too. That would be triumphant.
Peter, can you imagine that? Oh,
we'll see what happens. They're going to have a big fight next issue, next month. Anyway, so thanks for coming for another edition of Between the Bubbles. It was great to do it in person again.
It was great to be back.
Having you in the house, Darren.
Great to be back.
And like we explained, next week we'll be doing our big 2.0 relaunch. So stay tuned for a lot of very exciting things in the coming weeks.
Very new, very different.
Yeah, as we reformat, retool to try to give you, our intrepid listeners, even more excitement and more more bang for your buck, even though none of you are paying anything.
And your time.
Yeah, more bang for your time. That's a good way to say it. Anyway, so we'll just close out here. We're grateful that y'all would listen, and as always, happy reading. Hey, Between the Bubbles is a production of Almost Midnight Media and is released under a Creative Commons license.